I appreciate prayer this morning. It seems like we've had my mind bombarded with so many scriptures and things. I'd like to start in the book of Romans. I got a lot of good out of these verses. Romans, the 9th chapter and the 30th verse. What shall we say then, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. I want to read a little bit more in the 10th chapter. And I'd like to read, I'll just start at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, he's talking about the Jews here, and God had given the law to the Jews. It came from God. And I'm sure that was hard for them to wrap their minds around, that Jesus was teaching something a little bit different. But Jesus always said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. They thought he was trying to destroy the law, trying to change everything, but he came to fulfill the law, not destroy the law. But it was through faith. He mentioned the Gentiles here, and he said that they came into righteousness and found righteousness because through faith. They believed the message. They believed Christ. And they came into righteousness. But it said Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, had not attained to the law of righteousness. In other words, they didn't really enter into the true righteousness, the true riches that God had for them, because they were trying to do it in the law, following the law of righteousness. Now, you know, all of us, I'm saying people in general follow some kind of law. I've heard the Hell's Angels, they got a law. They got a code of rules that they live by. Gangs have laws. It's not my laws, they have a different law, but they do have observance of rules and laws that govern their deal. And Paul mentioned in another place, when he's talking about the Gentiles, he said, their conscience also bearing witness, or else accusing or excusing. And it says God had written the law in their hearts, their conscience. Now, they weren't under the Jewish law. They didn't receive the Ten Commandments, but they had a concept of right and wrong. And all of us do. People do live by some kind of moral law. They try to. They try to do what's right. They try to live to a moral law, but it doesn't bring us into righteousness. It doesn't bring us into God's righteousness. Living by our own moral law, how we were, the things that we were raised in, our traditions, our the influences that surrounded our lives, that within itself doesn't bring us into the righteousness of God. And we see that some people, they have a higher moral standard, not even living for God, have a higher moral standard than what other people do, but still, even sometimes even the worst would say, I'd never do that. There's still something there that people try to live after and go for and try to live. But I want to go now to Romans, the 7th chapter. And I'd like to start reading in the 12th verse. It says, "Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good." In other words, the law that God gave was good and right. And many times, laws are good that people want to live by. But it says, "For sin taking occasion by the commandment," I'm sorry, verse 13, "was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might be become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Sold under sin. That's what he said. I believe Paul is giving his experience while he was under the law, while he was a Pharisee, while he was persecuting the Christians. And in one place, Paul told them, talking to the Pharisees of the Jewish people, he said, none of you live up to it. You're not keeping the law, so why are you trying to get all these other people to keep the law? Because you're not living up to it anyway. Paul knew, that's where he came from, he knew what it was after Christ appeared to him. And it's amazing how God revealed the relationship with the law and the gospel and grace, revealed it to the Apostle Paul. In verse 15 he says, "For that which I do I allow not, for what I would that do I not, but what I hate that do I. If then I do that which I would not," see, he's doing things that he didn't really want to do. "I consent unto the law that it is good." The law is good. "Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." In other words, there's something in me that's causing me to not do right. And the scripture talks about, it says children from birth are are prone. They have a nature that wants them to do, that causes them to do the wrong things. They have a nature that wants to press the limits and go the wrong way. And that's what we are. We're sold under sin, and we do the things that we don't want to do. He says here, "Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For sin, so he found his place. He found himself in the last verse, or the 24th verse. He said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He found himself in a great... And that's what the law does. The law was given to help us to recognize that we needed something outside of ourselves. It was to bring us to the place that I can't do it on my own. And that's, I believe, in life, everybody has to come, everybody will face these verses here. Everybody in life will face these verses. And there's two things we can be. We can have an honest heart. If we have an honest heart, we come to the same conclusion. I need help. I need somebody to help me. I need something beyond myself. If we don't have an honest heart, then we spend our life making excuses. We spend our life making excuses. Oh, it's not that big a deal. It's not that bad. This is just the way it is. Everybody's this way. We spend our whole entire life making excuses. But we do confront these verses here. But God, they are to lead us to the cross. They're to lead us to Christ. They're to help us to say, I can't do it. And that's the place that God wants us to come to in life, where we can't do it within ourselves. And we have to look to Him. I don't have it, but we look to Him to give us grace and help and strengthen us in our lives. Now, I want to go back to Romans, the 10th chapter, and I want to read the third verse again. It says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." We have no righteousness within ourselves. I don't care how good. We have no, from our human nature, we have no righteousness within ourselves. Any righteousness that we may have is from God and is God. It's not us. But he says here, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And this word submit, I believe, is the key. It's a key of why the Jewish people, and what he was saying earlier, Israel didn't find it. In general, there were a few people that found it. There was a remnant that found it, but most people didn't find it because they failed to submit themselves to God's righteousness, to come under authority to God's righteousness. Is it very easy to come under? There's something about the human nature we don't like to come under. As humans, we don't like to come under. We like to do our own thing. We don't like people to tell us what to do. We don't like people exerting pressure on us to try to get us to do what we should do. We get away from that. We get out from underneath that as humans. But I want to say here today, submission is surrender to God. It's not that we surrender. We have to surrender to the Lord. We have to come with our hands up and say, I'm tired of trying this. I'm trying to live up to these expectations. I'm trying to live up to this law. I'm trying to tired of living up to what's right. I can't do it. When we come to the foot of the cross with a surrendered heart. Now I want to read a few more scriptures. Let's read a few more here. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. It's almost like it's saying to me, it's like it's saying, the righteousness which is of faith is not unbelief. It's believing. It's saying, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend? How can I get help? Who's going to help me? Or who descended into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. That's unbelief, to believe that Christ is just in the grave. Who's going to help me? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart. These are wonderful verses. My soul has been so blessed. There is, I believe today, there is a head belief, a belief of just the knowledge, and we get that from our environment many times. We obtain a belief, other people believe something, and it's like it's a head belief. But he says, believe in thine heart. What is he talking about? Does our heart think? Does this thing that pounded my chest, does it think? The thing that pounds my chest, what the scripture calls is the heart, is the affections of man. It's where his love is at. It's where his drive, his desire, what he gives himself to. If you believe in your heart, in other words, it's a surrender to God of your heart and your life when you say, I'm tired of living in sin. I'm tired of doing my own thing that doesn't work. You know, we can live 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. We just heard somebody got saved at 80 years old. They lived 80 years. They finally got saved. We can live, wouldn't it be better to come to that place and when you're 20? It's good any time that we find out that we can't do it. But if we are honest within our hearts, it's, I can't do it. God, I surrender my heart and my life to you. I give myself to you. And the heart means that I'm leaving the things that I know that are wrong, that are damaging. We do that. It's a beautiful thing that the crucifixion of Christ and the resurrection, it happened in a few days, but it's a picture of our salvation. The cross, Jesus died on the cross. It's where he submitted his will to the Father's will. And then he, a few days later, after he did that, you know, the devil makes us think, if you surrender your heart and life to God, you're in trouble. You don't know what the Lord's going to put you through. The devil is a liar. He's a thief. Jesus submitted. It's a picture of our salvation. When we come to the cross and we die to ourselves, we die to sin. The third day, he arose from the grave. That's what happened when we truly die to ourselves. We arise A new birth. A spiritual being. A new creature in Christ. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. New desires are born. The captivity is gone. I think about all the different testimonies I've heard through the years. How do we know that Jesus rose from the grave? I didn't live 2,000 years ago. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, the Spirit is like a wind. You don't see it. We don't see God. We don't see the Holy Spirit. But we feel His influence. We see His influence. Brother Mark Sammons, you remember, he was an alcoholic. He was about to die on his last leg, and he said, Lord, if there's any hope, if there's any hope for me, that's what he did. He gave up. He was surrendering. I've done everything I know how to do to get out of the bondage of alcohol. I can't do it. When he got to that point, he said, the Lord saved him. He broke it. He broke the power and dominion of sin in his life. That's the cross. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to give us new life. He came to give us the new birth. The new birth is the greatest thing. There have been people, drug addicts, that have given their hearts and lives to the Lord, and they're no longer drug addicts. They've been changed. I heard a testimony about a guy that was in a gang. He was a hitman for a gang. He killed people. That was his job. And he had this dream. Or Brother Gillen, did you tell us this? Anyway, he kept having this dream that he had blood on his hands and he couldn't get it off. In his dream, he kept going and washing his hands with soap and doing all the things he could to get this blood off his hands. And finally, he had a dream. And in the dream, it was revealed to him, the only way you can get that blood off of your hands is by the blood of Jesus. And he humbled his heart. And he prayed. He sought God, and God changed him. He no longer murdered anymore. He was a different man. And that's what the Lord came to do. That's why He came. That's what the whole gospel is about. There's people that have pornography addictions that have been delivered by the power of the gospel, by the power of Christ. Gambling addictions. Addictions to the world and things of habits, bad habits and things that they do. There's deliverance. When we totally surrender our hearts and lives to the Lord and we say, I'm tired. I'm tired of trying. I'm tired of doing my own thing. Will you please save me and help me? That's what the law is to bring us to. Whatever law we're under today, whatever law that we live by, that's what it's to bring us to. I can't do it within myself. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not a head knowledge. I can believe because other people believe, but it's a belief that comes from the heart when we surrender ourselves and our lives to God at the foot of the cross. Then we're resurrected. And there's scriptures. I didn't take time to support all that. But there's scriptures. There's one that says, let's see, how's it go? If the Spirit of God is in you, the body is dead because of sin. It's like you've been raised and resurrected in newness of life to be able to live anew. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. You know, isn't that wonderful? God didn't just make it for a special group of people, but it's for the entire world. We're Gentiles this morning. We weren't of the Jewish descent. but God opened it up for everyone. It says, "For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon His name." He's rich unto all that call upon Him, that seek Him in prayer. I want to mention just a little bit about the new birth and what happens at the... There's a verse that says, "Desire sincere the sincere milk of the Word, as babes desire the sincere milk of the Word." You know, when we've been born again, God changes the desires of our heart. No longer is this just one of the many facets of my life. This becomes my life. This becomes all important. Just like a baby, you know, when our children were small, you could take, and I kind of enjoyed doing that, she'd rub their cheek a little bit. You know what they'd do? Raise their mouth. They wanted that nourishment. It was there at birth. They were born. And they fed cows and things. You don't have to teach them how to do that. That's what it's like when we become a Christian. We don't have to twist people's arms to be in service or to read the Word. When you're born again, that's what you want to do. You want to be in service. Some people, it's like a take it or leave it. Oh, I could read the Bible today or I could leave it. It's just not that important. But when we're born again, it becomes vital to our life. We hunger and we thirst after it. And I want to challenge us. I feel very challenged. If we lose our surrender to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, if we lose our surrender, we can lose our salvation. That's a serious thing. If I lose my surrender and I become stubborn and self-willed, I can eventually lose my salvation. God gives us space to repent. He gives us place to turn. If we start going down a wrong path, He gives us space to repent and return. But I have to give Him a surrendered heart. I have to come to Him and say, "Not my will, but Thine be done. Lord, whatever Your will is, whatever the path is that You want me to take, I want to give myself. I want to follow." Surrender is so important this morning. It's a wonderful thing. You know, you don't... When the person gets saved, they're born again, you begin to see things change in their life. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And I don't believe it's just happenstance that Christ, this time of year, was died. And just like we see the new life come up, the trees and springing forth. What is nature teaching us? There's life. There's hope. There's blessing for us. The devil wants to shut us off and say, "There is no hope for you. You can't do it. There is no life for you." But God came to bring us life. He came to bring us hope. And the scripture was mentioned earlier. You know, when Peter, the disciples, they saw Jesus die on the cross, that was hard for them. They went away discouraged. They were disappointed. They'd been following Him for 3.5 years. But the Lord wasn't done. It was all part of the plan. He wasn't finished. And it says, "He hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ by the dead." That's why I believe Jesus rose. Yeah, I wasn't there. But I know what He's done in my heart, in my life. I know what He's done. I know what I was. I know where I was headed. And it wasn't good. And He can do that for all of us today. Let's give up, Lord, a surrendered, keep a surrendered heart before Him and give ourselves to Him. And He can work righteousness in our lives. Appreciate your attention this morning.